Session number 17618, Mr. Thomas Atkinson, Reel 3.
Mr. Atkinson, Reel 3. On what date did you get your calling of papers?
Well, I got the papers to go up on the 24th of July, and probably it was over a fortnight, 3 weeks beforehand that I'd got the papers, yeah. And they sent me a 5 shilling postal order. That was for travelling expenses. And I remember going up to Frogston, it was Frogston Road in Edinburgh, and tons of mud.
So the process of joining was that you got a letter to say
to Edinburgh.
Where did the medical come in this situation?
I had a medical, and you go through about 6 or 7 doctors in a line, you know, and down the line, one after the other, and you come out day one at the finish.
Were you ever asked what you wanted to join?
Oh, yes, there was the Army, Navy, the Air Force, and I'm pretty sure I put down for the Navy, but I got in the Army anyhow.
And the letter that you received for going away with a 5 shilling was to go up to Edinburgh, was that?
It was a 5 shillings travel and expenses, which you got when you went up to Edinburgh, but I didn't know they deducted it from your first week's wages. Tight focus. Which I could tell you a story on the first day's wages. Me being Atkinson, alphabetical order here, there was this chap, Alan, right gates at Spiv. And we went up to sign our names for our first pay. Now, the first pay was 10 shillings, 2 bob a day. But they kept 4 shillings out for if you lost any equipment or for reserves. So the wage was 10 shillings, less 5 shillings sent to you. So the first week's wages was 5 shillings. And Alan and me went up together and they didn't have any change. So they give 10 bob to Alan and he says, I'll see you around the nappy. And I never saw him. I mean, he buggered off, didn't he? He was rich, he had 10 shillings. Buggered off, and they brought him back about 3 or 4 weeks later. But
you never got your 5 shillings?
I never got my 5 shillings, you know. So my first week's pay was a dead loss.
So moving from where you were living up to Edinburgh by train, were you meeting chaps who were going to the same place, same camp?
Yes. Yeah, you met people on the train that were going to Frogston Road. And when we got up there, they gave us a tent. I think it was 8 of us in the tent, one of them bell tents. It was a bit tight. It was 8 of us. And we made friends quite a lot. You know, I mean, George Graham, one of them, he just died a few years back. He was a lifetime friend of mine. In fact, he escaped with me. We went into the... He was in the carriers. He got captured. I was stretcher bearer. I got captured. And I remember talking about his, he was at the time, he was Bren carrier, in the Bren carrier dunes, and the first time they went in action, they all got bloody stuff, didn't they? They were useless. They put them into terrain which wasn't the one suitable for. Tank might have been all right, but not a Bren carrier.
We can come to that later. Yeah. When you arrived at the camp, as you say, you were shown into a tent. What were the conditions? What were the weather climate conditions at that time? What was the weather like?
Well, it was July, and so it was quite mild, but it was torrential rains. It had a lot of rain, and it was pretty thick under feet at that time. And
you'd been in your civilian clothes when you arrived?
You were in civilian clothes, and it took you 2 or 3 days or so to get before they got you kitted out.
Was it difficult keeping clean under those wet conditions, muddy conditions?
It was pretty hard, but the lifestyle was hard. I mean, you used to get you up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you had what you call gunfire, which was a pot of tea, and then you went on a route march for about 8 mile, I should think, and come back for your breakfast. That was the routine, and I remember that's after you'd got your uniform, by the way.
Yes, can we stick to those very initial hours even, days, when you first arrived? What kind of a reception did the army give you? You're getting off your train, what happened?
Well, they pushed us into the tent, and then they told us what time the meals were. But I don't know, it was probably only 2 or 3 days before they kitted us out, and I don't think we'd done much till we got our uniform and kit, you know.
Had they started there shouting at you prior to, you know, in those first hours?
Well, this big, I think it must have been a week or so afterwards, we might have had our kit on when the RSM come up. He come up from Bransworth.
Let us have a look at your kit. What did they issue you with? What did you get?
Well, you got boots, which killed you. Well, you've been used to wearing shoes and used to kill you around that, and you thought, never get used to these things. But it's funny enough, after a few route marches, they were all right. You had your vests. You had a couple of woolly vests, I think, and I don't think this year you had underpants. I don't remember, no. It was very basic what they give you. Oh, you had a couple of khaki shirts, probably. And a khaki pullover and a greatcoat.
Was it the battle dress blouse and trousers, or were they the old First War uniforms with the high?
No, it was the battle dress then.
It was the battle dress.
Yeah, it was the battle dress, yeah. And then, of course, you've got your valises and your bags and your kit bag and everything. And if I remember rightly, your civilian clothes, you packed them up and sent them home, your civilian clothes.
Where did you keep all this if you were in a bell tent?
It was very difficult. We kept them in your kit bag, you know, and your valises. You had them sort of stuffed alongside you. And it was, you kept losing, of course, equipment.
Losing, or was there stealing going on, or people taking?
Well, you see, the way the torturing seemed to be a general thing in the army. If you lose a airbrush, you take somebody else's, and they'll take somebody else's, and etc., etc., you know. It went on like that. But I think I must have been too honest, because they were always banging my peer boot with bloody lost equipment.
Did they check your kit regularly to see that you had it all?
Yeah, they did. Yes. They used to come, and orderly sergeant used to, almost every morning, you had to pack, even though you were in a bell tent, you still had to pack everything neatly, and the orderly sergeant used to come round and check everything was all there, you know, and if you had any equipment was missing, you had to report it. And probably I made a mistake of reporting it.
And did you say if there was something not there, you had to go and buy, in effect, pay for another one?
Well, they issued you another one, but they kept it out of this 4 shillings a week, which they deducted from your 14 shillings a week. They used to keep 4 bob out, and that was to pay for any of these pieces of equipment which you lost.
It must have been difficult putting your equipment and items out in a tent. Did you have to stand beside it whilst the sergeant made his inspection? Or?
To tell you the truth, that I don't recall that very well.
So you were issued with your uniform, and you'd had a medical prior to coming in. Did you have a medical when you got to the camp?
Oh, yes. You had your usually free from inspection to say that you didn't have any sort of creepy crawlies around you, that sort of thing, you know. And, I mean, that went on regularly, which you'd had to do under crowded conditions that you were living in. And then, of course, you were dental. You weren't long there before they had you down to the dentist in groups to get your teeth a tether or two pulled out, And I think there were a load of bloody amateurs that was doing it.
Did you have any out?
Oh, yes, I had about four out. And there was about maybe 40 of us in that big room. And you come round with a cocaine and all right around the 40, you know, and you thought, I hope this cocaine hasn't died up by the time it comes round to me, because it's ages before they come back to you again, you know. I think I had about three or four teeth out when I first went there. And I'd done one or two fillings, but the fillings weren't very successful because they kept come out very soon.
Had they told you the name or number of the unit you were in?
Had they told me?
Did you know what unit, in fact, you had joined at this point?
Yes, I think they did. I think it was because I knew that the 16th Battalion was in this field, and just down the road in another field was two more battalions, the 14th and 17th, just further down the field. And
you were, in effect, in the 16th?
I was in the 16th, yes, and we were broken up into six platoons, and they took them by height. Number one platoon was the six-footers, and number two were a little shorter, and I was in platoon five. So you could look at somebody and say, well, oh, you'll be four or five platoon, you know, you're almost just by the height. Yeah.
Who was in charge of the platoon?
Who was in charge of the platoon? There were Beds and Arts, NCOs. They had been brought up from the Beds and Arts to form our battalion. And they had had training, I understand, from this big Lackenby, I think they called him Lackenby or Lackenby.
The RSM.
I think he'd gone down to the Beds and Arts and trained some of the NCOs before they brought them up to us, you know. By the way, the 24th was the second intake, had been an intake a week before, I think. And they were seasoned soldiers by the time we got up, you see.
Were these regular soldiers from the Beds and Hearts?
Yes. Yeah, I think you could say that they were regulars, yes.
Older soldiers, not young men?
Older. Mind, you see, when I went up as a 20-year-old, half of the platoon, our battalion, was made up of the 29s, because, you know, they went through the age group when they called them up. And the 29s was the group I went up with. So anybody reaching 20 went up with whatever dunes. And when we were on route marches and we were 20, and these old boys of 29 used to feel sorry for them. They were old boys in comparison to us, you know, doing these obstacle courses and route marches and things.
It was a large tented camp, obviously, to take a battalion. It was
a full battalion, yeah.
Where was your canteen or your feeding quarters?
Oh, remember the canteen? The place was called Norton Hall, so there was a big hall there. But where the canteen was, under canvas or in the hall, I'm not quite sure. I can't remember rightly, but I remember the canteen, the nappy.
And the dining quarters for yourselves, where was that, a tent, the dining hall?
No, I think we were getting it on a plate and eating it in your own tent at the time. Because I remember this ginger lad, it was Alan, and this ginger lad had turned up two or three days late. The rag and bone merchants, the world, I think. And I always remember him, Conway, I called him Conway. He got his meal on a plate and he looked at it and he just slung it out the tent door, not eating that bloody rubbish. Two or three days after he was eating everything in bloody sight, after he'd been on a few route marches. And
so you just line up at the cookhouse place or wherever and picked up your food?
Picked up your food and took it back to your tent.
How was it dished out to you? I mean, obviously, there would be a first course and a dessert. Was it all put into the one tin, or did you go back for
it? No, I think you went back for your sweet, yes. Yeah. You'd only have your main meal and your sweet, and I think He either took a smaller plate and got his sweets or went back, but I can't remember.
And what if it rained whilst you were doing this?
No, actually, I think the weather had been very, very wet for over 2 or 3 weeks. And then it seemed to dry up and the weather was quite good.
You said Ravalli was 6 o'clock.
Round about six, yeah. 6 o'clock.
Was that by bugle or... What system did they use to get you up?
Don't remember bugle. I think it must have been the Lord Lewis sergeants come round, corporals shaking you up, you know.
Do you remember the name of your particular platoon NCOs?
Oh, we had a sergeant in that, Sergeant McCormick was our platoon, and such a nice bloke he was, and he was a regular, and probably it must have been something approaching 40 at the time. We had a Corporal Hobbs, and he was very nice. In fact, I remember we were in a barracks on a Tuesday night. There was about 4 or 5 mates, and he came round. He said, "Not going out tonight, lads." "No, broke." And he gave us 2 bob. And that 2 bob got us out to the supper, gave us a supper and a pack of fags between us. You know, I mean, you get a pack of fags for about 4 pounds, I think. So I always remember him.
Did you have a platoon officer?
Yeah, we had a platoon officer. Yeah. I don't remember him very well. I do remember one of the lieutenants I come up against. We were doing a manoeuvre when we were in Dunfermline in the park, at night manoeuvres, and we had our rifles and blanks, and it was one lot against another. And I always remember I took up this place in the park. Next thing I knew was a young lieutenant coming with a stick, and I told him to halt, and he didn't, so I fired me blank, didn't I? He said, "You could have bloody blinded me, you bloody fool." I said, "You should have stopped, sir, when I told you to." You got the hell of a shock.
Can we look at your early days training, those first days of training, really? You see, the Ravalli was 6 o'clock, and you had your cup of tea.
It was called gunfire, yeah.
And then you would go on some form of activity.
Went on a route march, yeah, used to do a route march.
How long would that take?
It must have only took about an hour and a half or something like that, and you come back for your breakfast and...
you're right out of Civvy Street, soft feet, well, relatively soft feet, you know, you're in boots and everything. Did they gradually build you up to the longer route marches?
Yeah, I think they did, because them early ones used to kill me around the ankles where the boots went around the ankles, which you weren't used to. But it didn't take long for them to get acclimatised to them. And of course the route marches and that got
Were your feet longer. Inspected after every route march? Did you have to have your feet inspected?
Yeah, not only if you complained.
Just if you complained.
Yeah. By the way, I was a chiropodist in the early years.
On a route match, what would you be carrying?
Everything but your kit bag, I think. You carried a handle, Lord. Yeah, your big, all your valises and everything, you know, and your rifle. And they weren't the Lee Enfield rifles they showed us out in the first place. Them big Canadian P-66.
The Ross rifle, was it?
It was a big Canadian rifle. It was very heavy. And we later got the Lee Enfields, but they were pretty heavy rifles in them days.
Did you have a stop after covering so much distance?
Whenever you'd done a route march, and this is when I started smoking. I didn't smoke until this time, but after every 50 minutes, they used to stop for a 10-minute smoking time break. And everybody used to light up, didn't they? And if you didn't smoke, you felt out of it. So I think I took up smoking then. to my regret.
Going on the march, did you sing the soldier songs of the days?
No, I didn't do any singing or anything. No, it was pretty hard work, actually. And I think I spent most of my time feeling sorry for these poor old boys that used to be dragging behind, you know.
It would be pretty warm in the middle of summer.
Yeah. But it was during them route marches that we were getting in touch with the results of the Battle of Britain, you know. They were coming out with their 185 Germans down to there, and you know. And I always remember, I wish I was down there among the... I wanted to be down there where it was happening, you know. But it was a while before we got down there.
After the route march, coming back, what did you do then?
Oh, you'd come back, have your breakfast, and then...
What would you get for breakfast?
Oh, it used to be fried bread, a bit of bacon, maybe sausage, and you could have cereals, I think, if you wanted them. It was a fried and a nice hot cup of tea. I rather enjoyed my breakfast, actually, which I got.
Were the cooks...
In the open air.
Were the cooks very efficient? It was a well-cooked...
They were quite efficient to me. After you've been doing this route march and that, you know, in the morning you come back famishing, you'd eat out.
After you'd had breakfast, what then happened to you?
Oh, usually it was a session of some sort, PT probably, and you used to have about 2 or 3 minutes to get dressed for PT, and it was difficult work because all these buttons were stiff, you know, on your back.
How long would a PT session last?
It was about 3/4 an hour, 50 minutes. And then it was, get dressed again, you know. I used to get that, the difference between getting dressed and, you know, and that went on quite often. And it was difficult, I thought, to change in a matter of minutes. But they made you do it in a matter of minutes.
Typical army rushing around, wasn't it?
Sorry. Oh, yes.
Top speed.
Yeah.
Do you think that was deliberate?
Well, it was probably natural. Only we found it difficult on account of the new equipment which we had and the battle dresses which needed buttoning up and unbuttoning, and they were pretty stiff at the time, the same with your boots and that. So it was probably... normal time, only we found it was a bit too quick. I thought it was a bit too quick.
After your PT, what would you be doing next?
Oh, you could do drills that used to vary from drilling up and down and
what were the first things that they taught you in the drill? The very first thing you were faced with when you're on your first morning of drill?
Lining up. Making sure you got in line and how to stand easy and the commands of left turns and right turns, and it's pretty amazing how many people didn't know the difference between left and right. They weeded some of them out because there's some there that was joined up that should never have been called up in the first place.
What was this, men who were in poor health or?
Nitwits. I remember there was a family which I knew. We used to call them Dodos. My brother used to call them Dodos. Thick as posts. And when I got into the 16th, who should be there but Dodos? He'd been called up. I mean, he didn't know his left from his right. And it wasn't long before he got weeded out, and he was in tears because he got his marching orders. He thought it was great. He was in tears about having to go home, where every one of us would have been changed places with him.
He didn't want to go home.
He didn't want to go home, no.
Did they start you on light infantry pace with your drills?
Yes.
From the very beginning?
From the very beginning you were onto that, yes.
You must have found that very hard.
Well, I don't know. very hard. I mean, it'd been hard if you'd have been doing the ordinary piers from another regiment, but if you went straight into marching with that, it was it come natural. The thing that we didn't like was our forage caps having to be straight across, no tilt. Also, you could tilt, and Durham's had to have them straight, and you got into trouble if you were ever caught out in the streets with that forage cap tilted.
And, after your drills, would that bring you up to lunchtime? Dinner time, it's your main meal.
You'd have your normal breaks. You'd have your normal breaks for nappy time, where you'd go around and have a cuppa at nappy time and come back and
nappy
do...
in the middle of the morning?
Yeah, in the middle of the morning, and do some more drills and that in the early days. Of course, that included the slow marching and all that sort of thing, you see. And about turn, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Was that all done to numbers?
The weapon drill was done to numbers. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
How did you settle into the rather crude, loud NCOs bellowing at you from leaving home, straight from home?
Actually, I didn't have much trouble with the NCOs. It was the only bloke I remembered was this big RSM. We were terrified of him. You couldn't pass him without he find fault. You couldn't, impossible to walk past him without he pulled you up. There'd be something wrong. He wasn't there for very long, though. He was only knocking us into shape, I think.
And what time would lunch be?
Oh, midday. You're going about midday.
What would you get for lunch? Or what might you get for lunch?
You got your veg and meat and what have you.
It was a good main meal, wasn't it?
Always a good main meal, yes.
And was there a dessert with it?
Yes. Yeah, you got a dessert, yes.
How did you keep your utensils clean?
Well, all you could do with them was to, you had your billy can, and your pot, and your fork. You used to just run them under the tap and dry them up.
Was this just a stand tap in the field that your tents were in?
Probably, yeah. Don't remember rightly, but... there was ablutions there, yes, and you'd take them away, you went for your wash down, and used to do your utensils there.
Was this a tented ablution area? Or
yeah, it was tented, I think, yeah. I think it was tented.
After lunch, what would be your procedure? Just a repetition?
It was various, And these are in the early days. You hadn't got on to doing manoeuvres and going on the range and things like that.
Now, these are the early days you're talking about, the initial things that you
were doing. It was all to do with discipline and drill in them early days. Nothing of the intellectual queries or anything like that. No.
And did you have a mid-afternoon break as you'd had a mid-morning?
You'd have one in the mid-afternoon, yeah. And by about 4 o'clock, you finished for the day.
What was the routine after that? What did you do in the camp area?
Well, you'd have your tea and get ready and go down into Edinburgh if you had the money.
And were you allowed out from the very early stages?
Yes, you were, yes, yeah. And we, you had to be back by 11 o'clock, was it? About 11 o'clock.
Did you have to report to a guardroom on your way
out? Oh, yes.
Again?
On the way out, you didn't report to a guardroom, but on the way in, you had to pass the guard, And if you were late, I suppose, that's what he was there for, I think, should you? Yeah.
What about cleaning your kit for the next day? And was this done in the evening?
We used to spend a heck of a lot of time in the evening polishing, spit and polishing, yes.
And How was that done? For example, you would have your webbing and that to clean. What did you use?
Well, you had your blankos and things, you know, and I'm just trying to think. Never really does. I don't think we'd done any guard duties.